Can't nobody in the whole wide world do it like Bishop Uriah and Jesus. Telephone number, listen to me. 1-800-399-7353. Many of you, you can listen to me right here on internet all over the world. Those of you Mississippi, those of you that is listening from the internet, right here every day, Wednesdays, oh, thank God for Jesus, through Sundays, right here. But I double D triple day. Don't let that devil make up your mind for you. You make up your own mind. Good God Almighty, the real McCoy is here. And my before Thanksgiving, I'm thinking, God, not man, my before Thanksgiving special blessing. I thank God for blessing me with a singing ministry as well as a blessing ministry. Don't let the devil steal your joy. Man, one man of God, woman of God, man that got that nature problem, I'm going to pray for you. Nothing in the drugstore will do you no good. If you got pain in your body, I'm going to send you Bishop Uriah. Stop pain healing balm of Gilead that I prayed over. My prayer line is open, 1-800-399-7353. Are you talking about a blessing? Everyone that is listening to me that need that, want to get debt free, I want you to write down this five-letter word, M-O-N-E-Y. Write it down, those of you that written it down yesterday. You see what God did for you in the state of Louisiana, how that money blessed you? The telephone number. You call me. You got that lawsuit case, that court case. You need God to bless you. On tonight, that's what I said. I'm guaranteeing it. I'm not backing up, and I'm showing up, not slacking up with it. I'm tightening up in the name of Jesus. Somebody said, Bishop Uriah, you sound like you know what you're talking about. I know what I know, and what I know, what I know. And ain't nobody mad about me knowing what I know but the devil. Devil, and if the devil, if you listen to me and be your own man, use your own thought, man and woman of God, you'll do better. You'll feel better for yourself. And if that devil try to block and stop you, make sure you can't buy from no store. Make sure you write me in or call me in so I can send you one of these CDs. And you tell that devil these words. Let me sing it to the devil for you. Tell the devil, devil, Bishop Uriah said, if you can't help me, please don't stop me. You can't help me, please don't stop me, because I'm a child of God, and don't you try to block me. My prayer line is open, 1-800-399-7353. You need a blessing for tonight and tomorrow, this week, before Thanksgiving, before I get to your city. I'm on my way to Alexandria. Yes, ma'am, yes, sir. I'm on my way to see my father's children here in Alexandria, Louisiana. And those of you that want to see me in person when I get to Alexandria, you better call me right now, 1-800-399-7353. You tell that devil, devil, Bishop Uriah said, if you can't help me, please don't stop me. The number you're calling right now, two more of you, 1-800-399-7353. The real McCoy. The real McCoy is in your town. The real McCoy's back in the South. Better than the best, just as good as all of the rest. I see the clock on the wall, so time for me to leave you. God bless you. God keep you is my prayer, and I love you with the love of the good Lord. Please don't stop me. Move out of my way.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
My. How many of you know God is able? Come on, why don't you lift your hands up all over the building and just praise him for a moment. Thank him for being able. Come on, don't be ashamed. Lift your hands up. Oh, bless his name. Just bless his name. Just bless his name. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
He's able.
Yes, he is. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on God. Give up on God. Listen. He won't give up on you. And that's good news this morning. Oh, that's good news this morning. That's good news this morning. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, gracious God. Thank you so much, our Heavenly Father, for your faithfulness, for how you love us with an everlasting love, how in spite of us, you just keep on loving us, keep on making a way out of no way, keep on picking us up and turning us round, cleaning us up and dusting us off. Every time we fall, God, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord God, for how you look upon us, look after us, how you provide for us. And God, even when we've missed the mark, when we've fallen short, how you say you are married to the backslider. If we don't give up on you, God, you're not in the business of giving up on us. And that's good news. That's good news. So thank you for this time today. Thank you for your word today. Open our hearts, our minds, our spirit to hear what you have to say to us today. Let us be receptive to how the Holy Ghost goes into your word and minister to us, meet us right in the text and tell us the truth so that each one of us can hear you for ourselves and know that you are speaking to us. We give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, and we want to commence reading at verse 1. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1. It is a familiar story, but nonetheless a fascinating story. And certainly it is a word that is relevant to the believers today, although historically this was for the chosen people of God. In biblical antiquity, the Israelites, Jerusalem, Judah, the people of God. And yet, pragmatically and through faith, because we're children of the Most High God, entered in by faith, pragmatically, this word is for us in many, many senses today. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1 says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Verse 3 says, then I went down to the potter's house. Then I went down to the potter's house, and he wrought a work on the wheels. Listen, verse 4 says, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make. And for just a little while, I won't speak from the subject, flawed but favored. Flawed but favored. Turn to your neighbor, if you don't mind helping me, and say, neighbor, I may be flawed, but I'm favored. Now come on, give him some praise if you believe that. This word is not for a perfect people. It is for a people who are suffering with problems and issues, circumstances and situations that causes them to fall far less than the glorious expectation that God has for them. And yet, in the midst of the fact that they are not perfect, they have perfection in them. One of the things that I love about this word, and I love how God shows us how he is so compassionate and how he's so loving and how he's so wonderful to us who do not deserve it. It ought to give us not only open ears and open minds, but an open heart toward God to understand that God loves us in spite of us. And that if we don't give up on God, God won't give up on us. Look at this word. Verse 1 says, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down. Arise and go down. Now, this seems like a contradiction in terms, but of course, the potter's house was geographically down from the location where God called Jeremiah from. He says, but I want you to go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Now, what's interesting about this, my brothers and sisters, is the fact that I've preached this message many times in my ministry before, how God gives continual illumination and revelation on this word. But again, Jeremiah is given a command. And many times we can learn things from those who have gone on before us, which is why God has in part written the word, so that we may learn from the word. There are times that God will tell us to do something that he won't give full disclosure or details until we do at least first what he told us to do. Now, there are some people who are considered perfectionists, who want to be prepared, who want to be ready in every area and challenge in life, and that's a wonderful way and a wonderful place to be, except the things of faith don't always operate that way. Our greatest gift to God is obedience. And sometimes, though we are insufficient in our own knowledge and our own ability, it is not us we're leaning on and depending on to do what God has called us to do. It is God we trust. It is God we're leaning on. If God made the call, then God has the power to give us what's necessary to complete the assignment. The first thing he tells Jeremiah is, arise and go down to the potter's house. And there I will cause thee to hear my words. Now, Jeremiah could have argued with the Lord and said, well, wait a minute, Lord. Now, when am I going to go down to the potter's house? What am I going to say? The Lord already told him, I'm going to tell you when you get there. He might say, well, Lord, you know, I feel so unprepared. I feel foolish. The man might ask me, what am I doing here? What am I going to tell him? Like some of us will. You know how we question God when we really don't want to do nothing? When we really don't want to obey God, we've got to question God to make sure it's God. God, if it's you, I just believe you would tell me. You give me some sign. You show me what you want me to. I don't think you'd operate like that. He ain't argue with God. God said, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Now, obedience. Somebody say obedience. Verse 4. Is so rich with nuggets, so laden with principles, so powerfully inspirational that I shouted myself happy. So much so, I pray you get a glimpse of what I got when I was in fellowship with the Lord getting this message. Look at this word here. The Bible says, you know, then I went down to the potter's house. Then I went down. I went down. I did what he said for me to do. And behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. Now, here's what Jeremiah saw when he got down to the potter's house. God hadn't said a word. Jeremiah goes down to the potter house and he's watching the potter work. The potter sat in a stool set before a wheel that had a turning base that was either pumped or turned with his foot, which caused the top wheel to turn. he had either to his right or his left mounds of clay, raw clay, that he would scoop down, grab together in his hand, throw down on the wheel, dip his hand in water, push the wheel with his foot, which will cause the clay to spin. And with his wet fingers, he would begin to mold that clay that was shapeless, that was formless, into the desired object that he wanted it to be. He watched that potter work with that shapeless, formless clay and watch it develop into a wonderful vessel, all with the careful hand of the potter. Listen, with his fingers, he was able to cause that clay that was flat to cause it to rise up from the wheel. But when it got to the right height, he, with his thumbs, would hold the clay so that it wouldn't go up any higher, but then it would get to the thickness around the rim and then further down till it got down to the base. Every detail of that clay was molded by the potter. And Jeremiah, in amazement, watched the potter do his thing. And so he says he wrought a work on the wheel. In other words, that potter is something else. Y'all ought to hear me here today. But verse 4 says this. He says, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. Now, when I read this, I said, wait a minute. The vessel was marred in the hand of the potter. My first thought was the potter messed up. Listen at me. And the vessel was marred in the hand of the potter. When Jeremiah got through looking at that pottery that the potter had made, and upon examination and inspection, he noticed that there was a mar in the vessel. But now, here's what's interesting. When I looked up the word mar, it said corrupt. And so when I looked up corrupt, it meant inconsistency. And so what you got to understand is that the potter was working with what he had. Stay with me for just a little while. When he threw that clay on the wheel and began to shape it and mold it, listen, the flaw didn't come out till he started working with it. Can I tell you, sometimes you never notice people's flaws till you start working with them? Sometimes people look so sweet and you say, oh, they're just the sweetest purpose, till you start dealing with them. So sometimes you sit on the pews and think people you see in ministry, oh, they're the most perfect Christian, till you join that ministry and you start working with them and you discover they're some of the worst hellions you've ever dealt with. Come on, talk to me if you can. it's amazing that there are some things you don't see till you start. Yeah, you got. Till you start working with it. And so when the potter started working with the clay, he discovered that it was corrupt. In other words, it was inconsistent in its texture. And so it could have meant that some part of the clay was drier than another part of the clay. It could have meant that there was not a great and even mixture. So some part of it made it inconsistent for the vessel that he wanted to make. And so as a result of that, it was marred. It was flawed. It was not fit for what the potter wanted it to be. So he says, listen. He says, so he made it again. But while I was thinking, you know, the Holy Ghost just has a way of doing it with me. And so grammatically, if that would have been a comma after the so, it would have read like this. And the vessel was marred, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So? I'm trying to help somebody here. You got to understand that the clay is what it is. And what helped the potter is the fact that he knew the nature of the clay. And his expectation was not greater than the reality of what the clay was. And he knew that all of the clay was not going to be perfect for molding. Listen, so he was not shocked at the fact that that clay was marred. He was not shocked at the fact that the clay was flawed. As a matter of fact, he, the potter, didn't say a word. It was Jeremiah who saw it. But what are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say most times it'll be other folks seeing your flaws, picking out your weaknesses, looking at and shining the spotlight on your flaws. But I got news for you. Before you try to pick out the little bit of mold in my eye, get the big old bee out your own eye. The William brothers put it this way. Sweep around your own front door before you try to sweep around my soul. Turn to your neighbor and say, so. I may have flaws. So? Yeah. Y'all gonna get it. I'm only gonna be here another few minutes telling you about it. Listen. But the word doesn't have a comma there. So I got to continue on with the flow. So he made it again. Look at this. Another vessel. So he made it again. Another vessel. Well now, listen at this. Because he is capable of working with the clay that is corrupt, that is flawed, he does not let the flaw intimidate him. He shows the clay that's corrupt that I can still use you